This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me right now is a true renaissance man, in addition to being an author and an advocate for not just mental health, but overall health, wellness as well. He is an entrepreneur. He is an educator. He is an advocate for education as well. He is Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is a swell dancer, as well as a baseball awards presenter, the longest running host on the Pulse of New Hampshire with long curly hair, and also a swell dresser as well, a fantastic father, a doting grandfather, and a loving husband. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Thank you, Jay. You know, I'm bringing you everywhere I go. I also want to let you know, I was recently in Chicago and I took a snapshot of this. There is a hamburger place that's called J-Dog's Cheeseburger or something. So I will send you that photo so you know that you could be famous in Chicago. Now, since you mentioned running and authorship, I'm going to combine the two. So on Tuesday, June 20th at 6:30 at Gibson's right here in Concord, my latest book, my fourth book, Stories from the Starting Line, we will have a signing party. And with me will be the famous world champion mountain runner, Joseph Gray, who is featured prominently in the book, because he will be here on June 17th at the Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. Then he's sticking around for a week, because the following weekend he races the Cog Train, which is a new race that we started last year. In any event, so he appears in the book. So we thought, let's tie it in with a signing at Gibson. So for my running friends, it's about 61 runners that we interviewed, most of whom from New Hampshire that you probably know, and then sprinkled in our famous people like Joan Benoit Samuelson and Joseph Gray. So I've combined the introduction. And finally, I'm going to mention that last week's guest, Thomas Ware from Easter Seals, did a fantastic job explaining the importance of Easter Seals. Now, you mentioned education, Jay, and I was formerly chair of the State Board of Education, and that's where I really first met my latest guest, Bill Dunlap, who's the president of New Hampshire Historical Society. We actually had done other fundraising together, Governor's Mansion and things like that. But in terms of integrating, you know, both of our professional lives, Bill's role as president of the New Hampshire Historical Society really solidified that. So, Bill, let's start with, well, first of all, start with your background, and then we'll get into the history of the New Hampshire Historical Society.
Sure. I'm a New Hampshire native, grew up in the Concord area, town of Hopkinton. Went out of state for college, came back, and had a long business career, kind of business entrepreneurial businesses, and sold a couple of them and worked for a new corporate parent, and then sort of late midlife pivot to nonprofit work. And I was consulting for nonprofits and for various projects and strategic planning and capital fundraising. And through serendipity, I ended up being hired by the New Hampshire Historical Society. And I'm in my 14th year now and as the CEO of New Hampshire Historical Society.
It's amazing. It's 14 years because
I
remember since I've been on just about every nonprofit board that exists in New Hampshire, and you consulted for many in terms of generally they had capital campaigns, and that's where we sort of first got to know each other. And then this opportunity presented itself, and it's hard to believe it's going on to 15 years. The website is nhhistory1word.org, 856-0601 is the number. So now give us the overview of the New Hampshire Historical Society. And I understand you've got a key anniversary coming up, but give us some more background on the New Hampshire Historical Society.
Sure. The New Hampshire Historical Society was founded 200 years ago this year. So we're celebrating our 200th anniversary all year long with various special events, special publications. The Society is an independent nonprofit. We do not get any state funding. I mention that because we have a big institutional looking building adjacent to the State House in Concord. So some people think we must be some state agency, but we get no funding from the state. We're a typical nonprofit. We fundraise, we have membership dues, and we have an endowment and the like. Our mission is to save, preserve, and share New Hampshire history. We do a lot in education, and I know we'll get into that later on in this discussion, I think. We have an enormous collection of New Hampshire history. It includes 35,000 objects, 2 million pages of manuscripts, 250,000 historic photographs, and 50,000 volumes, books, and also 800,000 pages of 18th century and 19th century newspapers. So we've got a massive collection relating to New Hampshire history.
So we'll get into that and probably after the commercial break, because I know there's a balance, that expression, you know, one person's treasure is another person's junk. And how do you distinguish, quote unquote, real historical value collections versus, you know, someone cleaning out their garage? So we'll talk about that later. So since it is the 200th anniversary, and by the way, I'm glad you did explain about the funding part of it, because people definitely have that perception, because you're sort of on institution row, and people might, and in some states, the historical society is part of the state, whereas this requires, you know, fundraising and the usual events and grants and memberships, you know, to keep the place vital. So In terms of the 200th anniversary, how are you planning to celebrate that? And that may, of course, also be, you know, a very significant fundraising opportunity.
Yes. So we have several special events around the state this year. We've had a couple of them, receptions. We had a talk and reception down in Portsmouth in May, when the actual date, May 21st, that the society was founded 200 years ago. And there was Daniel Webster spoke at that event. It was a celebration in Portsmouth of the 200th anniversary of the settlement of New Hampshire, European settlement. So that was happening. And they said, well, we're 200 years old as a state in terms of the European settlement. So why don't we found a historical society, start keeping track of all this historical material that's being produced. So we had an event over there, reception. It was very well attended. We had another one up in the New London area. We've got Nathaniel Philbrick, who is a very prominent National Book Award winning historical author. And he's speaking at the society on September 28th at our sort of 200th birthday party. In addition, we're doing some special publications of our journal, Historical New Hampshire. And one other thing that's kind of fun is we're doing a statewide history hunt, sort of a scavenger hunt called 603 History Hunt. And that's been getting some publicity around the state, both in magazines and MURs talked about it, where you download an app onto your phone and there are 120 spots around New Hampshire that you go and you just take a picture with your phone. That's how you show that you've done it. And that should be a lot of fun. That'll wrap up with a sort of an event in August. It's going to run during the month of July. So that's a very fun event. And we're already getting a lot of people signing up for that.
And that's both for children and adults?
Yeah, anybody can participate, and you can do a team. You know, we're thinking it might be a family that would like to do it with their kids. And, you know, they're just very interesting places to go around the state, historical sites and noteworthy places. And we've already sort of tried it out with, you know, some of our staff did a few of these places, and it's a lot of fun to do it. And you see a lot of neat stuff around the state of New Hampshire. It's 120 spots overall.
Great time to learn. So was that your brainstorm or your team?
I wish I could take credit for it. It was my team, our education and public programming team does a lot of great stuff. They work with the school kids that we cater to with our educational programs. And so they're very creative about thinking of things that would be engaging for kids as well as adults. So they came up with this. And I admit, I thought it was a great idea, but I wondered, will a lot of people do it? But the number of people, we're still a few weeks away from starting. We already have about 200 people signed up around New Hampshire to participate in this. And there'll be prizes at the end for the most. There are participation prizes for everybody. who is involved. But then people who rack up the most sites will get, there's some larger prizes.
Wow, that's terrific. It's like a fell race.
Yeah.
So not too long ago, many of my colleagues were there. Your organization received the Pinnacle Award for the Nonprofit of the Year. So why do you think your organization was the recipient of the Concord Area Chamber's Pinnacle Award for Nonprofits?
Well, I think it was a good year to recognize a society. You know, not very few places are 200 years old or get to be that old. So I think it was a nice milestone to use to recognize us. But I think there's a recognition. We're a statewide organization, but our home is in Concord. And we do a lot. I think sometimes if people don't know much about the historical society, they may say it's sort of a musty, dusty old place, you know, sort of boring, whatever. But we are, I think, a very vital organization, a lot of fun programming. As I mentioned, we do a lot in the educational space. We see thousands of school kids every year. We have very powerful online resources through our website, including our new curriculum, Moose on the Loose, which is being given free to all schools and homeschoolers in the state of New Hampshire. So the society is doing a lot. And so I think there's a recognition of that by the chamber, and we're very grateful to them for them giving us this recognition.
Well deserved. And we get back from the break, we'll talk about how you're interfacing, you know, with the educational system. So with that, Jay, I see you're here, so take it from there.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Bill Dunlap, the president of the New Hampshire Historical Society, is the guest this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. You can log on to nhhistory.org, and we'll talk more about the website as well as what's going on at the Historical Society after these messages, as you're listening to Northeast Delta Dental Radio here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm J-Dog, alongside Tom Raffio, President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. This week's guest is Bill Dunlap. He's the president of the New Hampshire Historical Society, and they're celebrating 200 years, so a lot of things are going to be going on for the rest of 2023 and into 2024, of course. NHHistory.org, they're going to talk about what's going on at the Historical Society, and had a great discussion about that. And take it away, gentlemen. You've had a great conversation leading up to the break. Now we're back from the break, and continue on.
It's like being on a couch with an historian. So NHHistory, one word, .org. And tell us, Bill, why someone should become a member.
Well, it's interesting, Tom. We did market research a few years ago. We have about 3,000 members now, and people join us every month. And we did some research saying, well, why are you, of our members, why are you a member of the New Hampshire Historical Society? And interestingly, the top reason was not an interest in history. The top reason was they love New Hampshire. And so people who live in this state, they either moved in or they were born here. It's a fabulous state. And the Historical Society has so much interesting content about the state that you receive when you're a member in our journal, our magazine, Historical New Hampshire. We have lots of public programs that are both in person and virtual. You can access it online. We had a terrific New Hampshire history course this spring with Stu Wallace, who's the foremost historian of New Hampshire history. We had hundreds of people logging onto that. I got emails after that saying, this was fabulous, I loved it. So it's a way to sort of engage with your community and learn more about the state that we all love.
Couldn't have said it better. We love this state. We want to continue to love it. And we want the people behind us to love it as much as we do. So that's nhhistory.org. I encourage you to become a member. And of course, the 200th anniversary is based on the fact that the first European settlement was 1623. So 200 years from that was 1823, and add 200 to that, and there you go, 2023. So you were talking about the interface with school-age children and all the visitors you get from fourth graders primarily, but any grade. And we know from conversations that one of the things that recently, although I think you've taken steps to improve this, that we've been sort of surprised with the lack of knowledge from some of the school-aged children on U.S. history and New Hampshire history, almost to the point where they didn't even know the questions to ask. So I know that's been improved because of your efforts. So take it from there and tell us how the Moose on the Loose and all the online programming that you've done has been made available to school systems and the public.
Yes. So the, as you said, there is kind of a crisis in not only New Hampshire, but the country in terms of a decline in knowledge of the way our country works, civics and our common history. And we had a front row seat on that because the Historical Society every year sees several thousand school kids, as you said, mainly fourth grade, some fifth graders, and some middle school who come to the society for a New Hampshire history program. And a few years ago, our education staff came to me and said, you know, we've got to sort of dumb down our content here because the kids lately don't have any background. They're not learning anything about New Hampshire or U.S. history to the extent that a lot of kids had never heard of the American Revolution. They didn't know what had happened. I thought people were exaggerating, but that's the truth. That's really what's happening. There's been a downswing in the last couple of decades in the amount of time that educators have to devote to teaching social studies, civics, and history. So we decided we'd try to do something about that, and we raised about $1.2 million through private contributions to develop a new history, social studies, and civics curriculum for New Hampshire school kids. It's named Moose on the Loose. It's delivered 100% on the internet. And we have been told by experts around the country it's the best there is in the entire United States. We have had visitors, educators come and say, we've never seen anything as good as this. So it's got units that the kids can, a teacher, it has all the resources a classroom teacher needs in terms of lesson plans and all the background material, but it's super engaging for kids. There are a lot of really interesting visual stuff, there's embedded videos. We have virtual field trips around the state on the curriculum, and that's especially important for kids, say, up in the North Country where it's hard to travel to other places. So we launched this a couple of years ago. We hired some curriculum developers with the money we raised, had to spend a lot of money in technology to deliver this via the internet, and launched it, and it's being adopted every year, every month, frankly, by more and more people. So in the last 12 months, we had almost 30,000 users of the Moose on the Loose. The vast majority are school kids, but it's available not only to kids in the classroom, but to homeschoolers and to people who just want to. There's one interesting anecdote. The new director of the New Hampshire Humanities, Michael Haley Goldman, came to New Hampshire. He's a guy close to my age, and he didn't know a lot about the state. And he told me he was using Moose on the Loose to learn about New Hampshire, and he loved it. So it's really something that is very applicable for adults, clubs, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. It's got wide utility, and we're really proud of it and excited about the adoption. The adoption is just growing organically.
That's fabulous. And, of course, we've had Michael on the show, so I'll have to, when we have him on again, I'll have to remind him of how he got onboarded through Moose on the Loose. And
sure.
Bill knows I was on one of the committees that kind of gently sort of guided the process. It's terrific. Mm-hmm. And I know schools have adopted it. That's the great thing about New Hampshire. Schools can organically adopt this. And of course, you know, it's all about, you know, local control and local school boards. So the fact that there's such wide adoption is really, I think, demonstrative of the fact with how, you know, accurate and how user-friendly and how easy it is to navigate it. In preparing for the show, I got on it again recently because I hadn't been on in a little while. Although, as Bill knows, he gave me a mouse pad with Moose on the Loose. So I'm constantly reminded of the initiative. So congratulations. And Bill points out one of the struggles in education is there are so many things that we want to cover as teachers, as administrators. I know that when I was state board chair, like, you know, people that did the home economics wanted a certain amount, the math, the science, and before you know it, kids would be in school until 5 o'clock at night. And so that's part of, which is not practical. So that's part of what the challenge is. So this is such a creative solution to that. Knowing you, you must have some other, besides the 200th anniversary and continuing to keep Moose on the Loose state of the art, you must have some other significant projects, at least in your head or maybe even going on. Tell us about those.
Well, a couple of things, Tom. We are actually in discussions with New Hampshire Humanities to launch a New Hampshire Oral History Project. And that's still got a little ways to go in the planning stage, but in over the next couple of years, we ought to be rolling that out. And there, and we're very excited about that project. We'll be in cooperation with New Hampshire Humanities. We'll hold the, I think, the record at the Historical Society. We're in the midst of a lot of major changes. We're creating new exhibit gallery space in our main building. We had a donor that gave us a very generous gift to help fund that. And so we're in the midst of repurposing some space that had previously been collection storage in that building to new gallery, and then relocating the collections to another one of our buildings down at Eagle Square, renovating that building. So we've got that going on. And we always have technology needs. So we're going to be doing some capital fundraising next year to sort of refresh our, we've made a multi-million dollar investment in technology and in digitization of our collections to make them accessible to people online. And interestingly, we get about 20% of our members are from beyond the borders of New Hampshire. We get them from all over the country. Part of it is because our collection is so accessible to people and they don't have to physically come. So we've got that going on as well.
So in addition to becoming a member, if you want to help sponsor one of these technology initiatives, you know, just go on nhhistory.org or call Bill himself at 856-0601, 856-0601. Now, you know, I'm going to ask you this question. So I always, because my my pals that run the Concord Historical Society are always dealing with this as well. Like, who makes the call that this is true history versus not so much?
Yeah, interesting question. So we, as you said, people, we get items offered to us all the time. People are doing some spring cleaning and they get in an attic, and we love that. We love to have people come to us, but some of the material just doesn't fit really with the collection. And so we sort of gently tell people, gee, thank you for offering this, but it doesn't quite fit. Many times we find another spot that is an appropriate place for it. We had a big collection from a prominent lawyer in Manchester offered to us a few years ago, and we took a hard look at it and said, you know, really, the Manchester Historic Association ought to hold this material. So we work cooperatively with places like the Concord Historical Society, and there are about 200 local historical societies in the state of New Hampshire. So almost every town has one. So we work with them, Strawberry Bank, you know, other collecting institutions to figure out where the right place is for the material.
And that's true New Hampshire style. I'm glad to hear the interface with the Concord Historical Society. And the Manchester Historic Association, who you just referenced, just recently had an event down at St. A's, and you know, we attended. So really, really love to hear that. You've done great work. Really proud of you, Bill. And it's really important to capture all this, as you say, for the future, but also to continue the quality of life that we all have. nhhistory.org. J-Dog.
Yes, another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio is over. Fear not, we'll have another edition next time here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. A great conversation with Bill Dunlap, the president of the New Hampshire Historical Society. nhhistory.org. They're celebrating their 200th year. Go out and get there. I, true confession, I've not been there since 1998, so I've been derelict in my duty. That was 25 years ago. I'm going back, though. I'm all about milestones and stuff. So I'm going to go back this summer. I promise.
Don't empty your garage out before you go there. He doesn't want it.
Okay. I'll try not to, Tom. For Bill Dunlap, as well as Tom Raffio, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, I am J-Dog. We'll be back next time with another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.